Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station we're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, it was many years ago, 1928, when a man named Edward Bernay, who was the Sigmund Freud's nephew, wrote these words: "The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of." Those were the opening words of Edward Bernays' book, Propaganda. And Edward Bernay, of course, had worked as a propagandist during the First World War and the Second World War. He was a brilliant man. He knew how to manipulate people. He knew how to use the media, how to use the very structure of society to control people's thoughts. He was instrumental in working for the tobacco industry to convince women they should smoke, and of course, during the early years of the century, why there was hardly any lung cancer in women at all, because they didn't smoke. And Edward Bernay was so successful that millions of women began smoking and got lung cancer, to the point where today lung cancer is the second most prevalent cancer in women today, breast cancer and then lung cancer, thanks to Edward Bernay, the father of propaganda in America. He was employed by many major corporations. He was employed by the government. He was employed by a man named Oscar Ewing, who was an Alcoa lawyer, was appointed to be the head of the Federal Security Agency under the Truman administration in the late 1940s. And from there, Oscar Ewing controlled the U.S. Public Health Service, and the U.S. Public Health Service, at his behest, confirmed the fact that we needed to fluoridate water, and they hired Edward Bernay to sell the American people that water fluoridation, putting an insecticide, a bactericide, a pesticide, a poison into our water, was a wonderful thing to do. And Edward Bernay was even more successful in selling water fluoridation to the American people than he had been in selling cigarettes to the women of this country, and has probably killed far more people as a result. But the average American has no idea, because the scam continues. With us this evening is Maureen Jones, who's been studying this and working with this and trying to expose this for so many years. Maureen, thank you so much for being with us.
Dan, it's great to be on Radio Liberty.
Well, we're going to be talking tonight about water fluoridation, and most people really can't believe that there could be anything wrong with it. After all, the doctors support it, the dentists support it, the CDC supports it, the U.S. Public Health Service supports it, the NIH supports it. How could there be anything wrong with something that has so much support? And we'll be back in a few minutes to explain to you why they all support something which is killing people in America today. Well, Maureen, how did you get started in this battle to expose water fluoridation?
Well, in the early 70s, I got involved when I found out that the chemicals they were using to fluoridate drinking water were simply hazardous waste from the aluminum industry to begin with, but then now it changed all over to the fertilizer industry. So that was a red light for me, and then I started looking very, very closely at the issue from then on.
And, you know, the average doctor, the average dentist, doesn't know what they're putting in the drinking water. But 90% of what's added to our drinking water in America today is fluosilicic acid, which is, of course, comes out of the scrubbers in the chimneys of the fertilizer plants. And this is the substance of the fluoride and arsenic and lead and cadmium and polonium of radioactive material. It's too toxic to vent into the air. It's too toxic to put into rivers. It's too toxic to put into lakes. And so what are they doing? They're putting it into our drinking water. As incredible as it may seem, why would they be adding lead and arsenic to our drinking water? And, well, we're putting together the material that you're going to be able to take to your doctor and to other people and just ask them, why are you supporting putting lead and arsenic into the drinking water when all the studies show that it will dramatically increase the incidence of cancer and death? And where are the studies that show that we would not have better dental health, you know, if we had not fluoridated the drinking
right.
water?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, of course, I think it's so important that people understand what they're adding to the drinking water. They're not adding sodium fluoride, and I bet you say that 99 out of 100 dentists don't know that. What are your thoughts?
Well, even more importantly, they're not adding calcium fluoride. Calcium fluoride is the natural occurring fluoride. Only 7% of the U.S. population has calcium fluoride already in their water. And the maximum contaminant level is 4 parts per million for calcium fluoride. What they're adding to water to fluoridate, artificially fluoridate water, are the silico fluorides that automatically come with contaminants like lead and arsenic. And the maximum contaminant level for that is, or the range that they aim for is 1 part per million. But there is a huge difference in the accumulation between calcium fluoride and the water fluoridation chemicals. For example...
Now, hold that thought, because we're going to have to bring other stations back on, and I want our listeners to begin to get an idea of what they're really putting in the drinking water that the dentist won't tell you about. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, the great tragedy is if you go to your dentist and ask what they're putting in the drinking water, he's going to tell you they're putting fluoride in the water. What form is it in? Well, he won't know exactly what form it's in, but what they're really putting in is fluosilicic acid, which is the taken from the scrubbings from the chimney of the phosphate plants that contains lead and arsenic and cadmium, and is about half a fluoride, but you can't really quantitate it. It's too toxic to put into rivers. It's too toxic to put into streams. They have to have these scrubbers in the chimneys because it's too toxic to vent into the air. And so what do they do with this toxic substance, which really would have to be put into a toxic waste dump, only it's extremely expensive? Why, they found a wonderful solution. The reason the fertilizer industry has spent so much money lobbying people all across the country and perpetuating the scam is they're putting it into our drinking water. And what really what's wrong with the material they're putting into our drinking water, which is not certainly, as you point out, this calcium fluoride.
Right.
It is basically this waste substance that has poisons in it, lead and arsenic. There's no level left, the level of lead or arsenic, which I think it's 4 parts per trillion for arsenic now, and there's a tremendous amount of arsenic in that.
Well, for one thing, there was a congressional investigation a few years ago, and every so-called protective government agency, there were 5 that were written to, admitted in writing to Congressman Calvert that they have not one toxicological study on these silico fluorides. And the silico fluorides constitute 90% of the water fluoridation chemicals. So there's no FDA approval for the only thing, no tests, no FDA approval for the only chemical that they place in drinking water to treat people rather than to treat the water. All the other chemicals they put in water are to treat the water so that the bacteria doesn't kill us. And so the fluoride chemicals are only put in there to, what they claim is to reduce tooth decay. So it's a people treatment chemical to them, and there are no tests, certainly not FDA approved. So that's very important, because this was the EPA, the FDA, everybody writing to Congressman Ken Calvert.
Well, I think really what's so interesting, you know, as I've tried to begin to do this study, and of course, first of all, I wanted to get the classic article, which fortunately Maureen did send to me, our guest did send to me, but it was written by a Dr. Kumar, and he works for the New York State Health Department, Department of Public Health, and in 1995, they did a 50-year analysis of the original a fluoride trial, and it was done in Newburgh, New York, and Kingston, New York. Newburgh, New York was fluoridated, Kingston was not. And, of course, they said initially, after 10 years, dramatic fall in dental caries in Newburgh, and, of course, Kingston had a lot of dental cavities. And based upon that study, why they said, if this works, we're going to have to do this all across the country. Now, did it really work, or did they cheat on the studies? Well, we don't know. The people who did those studies are probably long since dead. But we do know what the latest study, in the 1995 study, which was actually published in 1998 in the Dental Journal of the New York Dental Society. So I called the office there, and I asked them the journal for a copy of the newspaper, of the article. No way were they going to send me a copy of the article. Mm-hmm. It was almost like it was a secret. Are you pro or anti-fluoride? They wanted to know. I said, well, I just want a copy of the article. Why won't you say whether you're pro or anti-fluoride? I said, I don't think is that really matter. I mean, if I'm going to quote the article, don't you want me to quote it right? Well, they wouldn't actually send me a copy of the article, but they did send me to Dr. Kumar, and he was gracious enough to send it to me. And what do you think they find after 50 years of water fluoridation? There's not a bit of difference, significant difference, between the rate of dental cavities in Newburgh, New York, or in Kingston, New York. And, of course, what they're going to say is, well, the reason that there's no difference is because children are brushing their teeth with fluoridated toothbrush. They're using fluoridated dental floss. They're using a varnish, fluoridated varnish on their teeth. They're using fluoridated mouthwashes. We have better dental care, and that's why in these cities that, of course, don't fluoridate the water, there's less cavities. And I'm sure that is true. Well, I'm sure that there's less cavities because of the fluoridated toothpaste and all of these things. But what part does fluoridating the water play? Are there any studies that show that if you don't drink this fluoridated water, you're going to have less cavities? And there are none. Absolutely none, because we've got their studies.
Well, the Center for Disease Control admitted in 1999 that ingested fluoride has no significant effect in reducing tooth decay. That fluoride, what minuscule amount it might reduce tooth decay, is strictly topical, such as toothpaste, where you scrub it onto the teeth and spit it out.
And, of course, I think that it's so important for our listeners to understand what causes dental cavities, dental caries. Dental caries is caused by bacteria. This is a communicable disease. The bacteria interact with carbohydrates. They release an acid, and the acid erodes the enamel from the tooth. That's what the CDC says. That's what the ADA says. And so it is the bacterial disease, and the fluoride, being a poison, it is the bactericide, and it interferes with the enzymes of the bacteria, and it kills them, and it cuts down on the incidence of bacteria in the mouth, and so you don't get the dental caries.
But it's highly debatable. The cover story of the Journal of the American Dental Association, July 2000, is even saying that at the level that it is in water, it is not sufficient to even be a topical solution for high acidity rates in the mouth, that they use like chlorhexidine or other chemicals. The level of fluoride in drinking water doesn't even you know, there's huge debate whether it's even topical.
And I think you're absolutely right. In fact, really what's so interesting, Maureen, is I called the American Dental Association and asked if I could reproduce the cover page of that article. It was written by Dr. Featherstone in the year 2000
yes.
in the Journal of the American Dental Association.
July 2000.
Right. And so I said, could I reproduce that? And they said, no way. We will not give you permission to reproduce that one page. Now, why? Because they don't want the American people to know that the only way that fluoride works is not by ingestion, but topically. And, of course, if you read what they say very carefully, there's no evidence at all that the amount of water you're going to get, the amount of a topical application from in drinking water is going to have any impact on much of anything. It is the fluoride, it is the varnish, it is the other things that they use that decreases the dental caries, not the fluoridated water. And if you read what they say very carefully, and that's
yes.
why they wouldn't give me permission to reproduce the article, but fortunately we do have that CDC article that Maureen has sent me. So what they have actually admitted is there is no advantage to drinking the water. It is simply when you have the water in your mouth, theoretically, why it could kill the bacteria, but how many people, when they drink water, swish it around in their mouth so it's going to get on their teeth?
That's
most
right.
people just drink it right on down. So there is no evidence that you're going to get enough topical application. But you see, they can't let the American people know that because of the implications of this whole incredible scam going back to the point where the U.S. Public Health Service hired the master propagandist, Edward by name, to sell the American people that this was going to be good for them, that sodium fluoride is an essential nutrient, and that is what gives us good dental health. And
it, I think, certainly is not a nutrient.
Of
yes.
course it isn't a nutrient. In fact, fluoride is a poison.
Yes.
It is a bactericide.
It's an enzyme inhibitor of first class.
It is an insecticide.
Mm-hmm.
It is a pesticide, and it is a human poison. Now, why are they giving that to us? Well, of course, is the $64,000 question.
Well, and I think an essential point right here is that it is highly cumulative in
right.
the human body. 86% stays in an infant's body. 50% stays in an adult's body, day after day after day. Every little bit that's ingested, that's the part that stays.
And
the bones, the pineal gland, any calcium-rich tissue.
And the thing is that Europe, a few of the countries in Europe actually followed the American course, and then they gave it up. The only country in Europe, of course, is fluoridated, as far as I know, is Ireland. Is that correct, Maureen?
It's about 60% fluoridated.
Right.
And there's a huge group of dentists that are battling to try to get it out of the drinking water. I think they're even planning a lawsuit because there are so many children that have the visible poisoning effects of fluoride right on their teeth. It's called dental fluorosis.
And, of course, this is not simply a minor cosmetic problem. This is a sign of systemic poisoning, but they
yes.
don't want to tell the American people that.
Structural change to the teeth.
Right. And, of course, those same changes will be in the bones of the body as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Highly embrittling to both.
And, of course, what Maureen is saying is that your teeth become more brittle. Your bones become more brittle.
Yes.
We know in areas where they have the fluoridated water, you almost double the incidence of hip fractures. And
yes.
this has been published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Why is that never discussed in our media? And we'll be back in just a moment or two with Maureen Jones. We'll welcome your calls from out across America. Water fluoridation influences fertility. It influences the level of intelligence, and there are studies out of China that shows it lowers the IQ. And we'll talk more about what it does to the minds of our children when we get back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Maureen Jones, who's been in this. How long have you been in this battle, Maureen?
Well, starting in the, it seems like forever, when I was a teenager, and I heard about the controversy, and then every day for the last 11 years, but really starting in the 60s, 70s, when my children were young. So it seems like it's been part of my life as long as I can remember.
Well, I think when you suddenly realize what we're talking about is poisoning our children. Why, you, of course, anybody with, you know, an amount of any bit of morality or concern about children would want to be involved. Now, I don't think that the average dentist would do anything to hurt a child. But, of course, because they do not know what they're doing, they are hurting the children. I think Edward Bernays knew exactly what he was doing. He was privy to all of the scientific studies. His job was to sell the American people on this, that this was a great thing. Now, why did they want, why were they so intent upon getting the American people to accept water fluoridation? Do you want to get into that at all?
Well, I'd also like to mention that the pressure on the dentist is every time the issue comes to a city, the public health officials announce that every single dentist is in accord on this issue. And immediately, all of the dentists who know that it's not helping people's teeth become intimidated by that statement because they feel like they're going to be the only one to speak out on their personal knowledge in their dental office that it is other factors that are causing tooth decay, like baby bottle tooth decay and pit and fissure, rather than a lack of fluoride. So they're already, they become immediately intimidated because they simply don't want to be the only one, although we have dentists all over the country that do speak out anyway, but they, the pressure is very, very high on them from the American Dental Association.
And, of course, you know, since you are licensed by the state, and if you start to tell the truth, why, you're going to be in real trouble. Now, what most people don't understand is that many people have actually been threatened and intimidated. Scientists have lost their jobs over this, and and certainly Dr. Ivory Limebach, who is a professor of preventive dentistry at the University of Toronto, was always very supportive of the water fluoridation until he suddenly began to do some original studying on his own and suddenly realized the thing was a scam. And when he dared to speak out against it, he was threatened. They threatened, of course, to destroy him professionally, to fire him from the university where he was teaching. And I personally talked to Dr. Ivory Limebach, asked him if he would come onto our radio programs, and he said, "I can't." I mean, I have to think of my children, I have to think of my family, I have to think of my profession, and even though, you know, I know that this is wrong, I mean, I'm not going to sacrifice my job here, you know, on this issue. But you can read what I've said, it's all up on the internet, and he confirmed the fact that he realized, of course, this was a terrible thing that we're doing to our children, a terrible thing we're doing to the American people, but he had been threatened. Now, why would they threaten him? Because they cannot allow the American people to learn the truth about the fact that they're poisoning our children, they're destroying the minds of our children. Do you ever wonder why so many children are hyperactive, why so many children really can't think or think effectively? We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this evening is Maureen Jones, and we were just talking about Dr. Ivory Limebach, who is actually a professor of preventive dentistry at the University of Toronto. He has personally told me he was threatened told if he spoke out publicly and told the truth about water fluoridation, he would be fired and he would be blacklisted as a dentist in Canada. That is really what we're up against.
Well, I think another interesting story is in the legislature in the state of Oregon, there was a father and son, they're both dentists and also masters in public health, and they were going to testify against water fluoridation in the Oregon legislature, and all of a sudden the alarms went off and they evacuated the building. And they, yes, and they never did allow these two gentlemen, dentists, even with their public health degree, to testify. They were dismissed with a fire alarm, and the building was evacuated.
And of course, it's difficult to believe that things like this could really happen.
Yes.
But, certainly Dr. Yes. Phyllis Mullinex, who had an appointment at Harvard Medical School in the Department of Psychiatry, was the senior, one of the senior toxicologists of the dental, at the Forsyth, the dental research organization there in Boston, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And when she did animal experiments that showed that if she fed rats, fluoridated water when they were pregnant, the children would come out hyperactive. They were abnormal offspring. And,
the pets.
And then if she fed them fluoridated water after the rats were born, why, the males became couch potatoes. They became sort of blobs. And, of course, the females, at a later date, it affected their minds as well. And when she published this paper, mm-hmm. why all of the industry, all of the whole power of the U.S. Public Health Service came down on top of her. She lost her job. She has never again been able to get a job, even though there's nothing wrong with her scientific studies.
No, she can't get any funding.
Yeah, right. But the thing is, of course, they cannot let the American people realize that they're poisoning our children. They really are. Do you have any idea why our children, when they graduate from high school, so many of them really cannot compete in scholastic tests with children from throughout the world? It's because they're dumber. They do not have the intellect that children in other countries do. And all you have to do is watch Jay Leno and his jaywalking programs on television. And he asks these children simple questions, and they don't know the answer. They don't even know. A lot of them don't even know who's buried in Grant's tomb, as incredible as it may seem. You know,
yes.
He asked somebody the other night, that Leonardo da Vinci painted this picture. It was called The Last What? And the guy said, oh, that's The Last Samurai.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's unbelievable. But unfortunately, our children have been intentionally, well, many of them, their minds have been badly damaged because they know in China, the study showed the children losing 10 points in IQ. Simply from the fluoride, and of course they can lose the IQ from the lead we're adding to the water as well. So you get 10 points for lead and 10 points for fluoride. And
well, also at low doses, the ability to combine with aluminum, which is put in water as a clarifying agent, and so then it's aluminum fluoride that can get through the brain at low dose.
Right.
Even more so at low doses than the high doses. So, and also kidney disease in the test animals, and changes in the brain that look affecting the amyloid protein that look exactly like what happens to human beings with Alzheimer's disease.
And I think one of the most interesting things is the fact that there is a journalist called Fluoride. It's of course published by the International Society on Fluoride Research. Chemists throughout the world and people who deal with fluoride and fluoride intoxication write peer-reviewed articles here.
Yes.
But you go onto the internet and you look under PubMed, you look in the medical letter, they do not allow any mention of this journal. Why? Because the last thing they want is for people to really understand the toxic effects of fluoride. It is a poison. It's an enzyme poison. It kills bacteria. It kills insects. That's why they spray it on all sorts of vegetables. Vegetables are too smart to absorb it through the roots. The only plant that absorbs fluoride is the tea plant. All the rest of them have a horrid. But don't you worry, they spray it on to kill the insects, and then, of course, you eat the fluoride-laden, the vegetables, the lettuce, and all the other things. It's a deadly poison for insects, and, of course, it's a deadly poison for human beings, too. Look on the back of your toothpaste tube if you don't believe that, and yet we're feeding this to our children in the water. What madness is that? Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Give us a call. We'll be back in just a moment with Maureen Jones here at Radio Liberty. Well, Maureen, go ahead and you pick the story up from there.
Well, I think that part of the main deception of the whole fluoride issue is that children do have problems with getting baby bottle tooth decay. In fact, the government says that 50% of Head Start children have had baby bottle tooth decay. And everywhere I have gone in the last 11 years to city councils and testifying in front of state legislators, you can always see the dentist stand up and use photographs of baby bottle decay, which is not remedied with fluoride. And anyway, all of the published studies on bottle decay show that fluoride does not help in any way, not even close.
Would you explain to our listeners what baby bottle tooth decay is?
Well, it's basically too much, it's misuse of the baby bottle. It's putting the baby to bed at nap time or nighttime with either a baby bottle or the sippy cup. They do the same damage to the teeth. And then the baby falls asleep and the sweetened beverages are held between the tongue and the back of the upper teeth. So the back of the upper teeth simply start to turn black and rot, and they eventually break off.
Now, basically, this is just sugar water that they're putting into this.
Yes.
It's because there's just sugar water in the baby bottle, and the baby like the sweet. But it is death for their teeth,
yes.
And that is what's known as baby bottle decay. And next time you go to a meeting like that, what you really should do, Marina, is get a picture, of this, and just point out these are pictures taken in areas where they have water fluoridation and baby bottle decay. And
oh,
that's
yeah.
what they do is they use these pictures,
yes.
And it's a lie. It has nothing to do with water fluoridation
right.
Or the lack of water fluoridated, because you get exactly the same thing in fluoridated and in non-fluoridated areas.
Yes. In fact, an example is in Denver, Colorado. They've been fluoridated since 1954. And a single pediatric dentist in Denver sees 300 cases of bottle and sippy cup decay a year in his practice alone.
I wish we could get some pictures from him. This is what you find in areas where you have fluoridated drinking water. And, of course, people would say, that's not right. That's baby bottle decay. But, you see, they lie. And,
well,
of course, these dentists get up and they're told how to lie to get this thing through. Because this is the greatest advance we've ever had. Fluoridated drinking water. And you look at the statistics from Kensington and from Newburgh, there's not a bit of difference between those two cities. After 50 years, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Maureen Jones, who's been in this battle for a long period of time. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we've got Sterling calling from Washington State. Hi, Sterling. How are you doing?
Hello. This, all right.
Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I was wondering if there's fluoride in the bottled water throughout America.
It can be. But if it is, it would be on the label.
And they are adding fluoride to a lot of the water because of this lie that fluoride is an essential nutrient. It is not an essential nutrient. It is a poison that they're adding to our water as part of this scam.
And filters do not remove. Ordinary charcoal filters cannot take the fluoride out. And nor can it be boiled away. And so it is a problem.
We actually have an item, we call it the Big Berkey, and the Big Berkey with special filters can take that out, but the filters have to be replaced every 6 months, because they get saturated with the fluoride. But you want to get the fluoride out of your drinking water.
What's interesting about bottled water, Sterling, is that Gerber was selling what they called a baby water about 5 years ago, and it was fluoridated. And then when they were told that even a dentist cannot give any fluoride to an infant until they're 6 months old, they withdrew their product from the market, 100% withdrawal of their product, of fluoridated, what they call baby water, because they were definitely liable. They were delivering more fluoride than a doctor or dentist or pediatrician could even prescribe. And that's what's amazing about putting it into the public drinking water.
And, you know, what's really so interesting, if you go back, you know, they started fluoridating in 1945. 1995, you know, after 50 years of fluoridating the drinking water and encouraging dentists to give drops, fluoride drops, and fluoridated vitamins, and giving pregnant women fluoride supplements so their children would have healthy teeth, after 50 years, in 1995, very quietly, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the CDC, and the American Dental Association said no child, infant less than 6 months of age, should have any fluoridated products. And if you were over between 6 months and 3 years of age, if you had even, I think, a 0.25 parts per million of fluoridated water, you should not have any supplements at all.
And that's the amount found in 1 cup of tap water, fluoridated tap water.
And they're poisoning our children, and this is the great tragedy, Sterling. I guess Sterling's gone. Because the problem, you see, what this does to the mind. The mind is forming, the brain is forming very rapidly at this time. And we are adding things to the drinking water with lead in it, and there's no safe level of lead. We're adding things with arsenic, and the parts of arsenic now, I think, down in parts per trillion or billion, I've forgotten, but so I guess it's parts per billion. And, of course, they're giving toxic amounts of arsenic, and we've got the testimony of a fellow who's written over 60. Have you seen that testimony of Dr. Mass? I think he gave
that. Yes, I have. Yes.
And he's
amazing.
Pointing out, I mean, here's a professor of, of chemistry at a major university who's testifying up in Oregon, totally blacked out by the controlled media. And the people are not getting the truth. But this is going to be certainly in our syllabus we're putting together now. And people need to get this information and get it to their dentist. The average dentist has no idea what they're putting in the drinking water. And I think if you could just make them realize they've been lied to, at that point they'll begin to listen.
Oh, yes. There was a dentist in Arkansas who testified at the state legislature against water fluoridation a month ago, and his name is Dr. Clark, and he said how badly the dentists in this country have been deceived. I even have a textbook that the dentists use in their education at the University of San Francisco, UCSF, in their dental training, and it's absolutely horrible what is said in that textbook. It's all propaganda. Even at that point, they start calling people who don't want to drink fluoride, they start calling them names, misinformed, uneducated. It's all right there in the dentist textbook when they're in the university.
Edward Bernays was a very, very clever man. He was a master of propaganda. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. A little while ago, your guest was talking about fluoride going to the pineal gland.
Right. Yes.
Can you give us any more detail on that? Just what does it do? Or
actually, it was the Newbert-Kingston study in 1945 that they discovered that little girls, because of the accumulation in the pineal gland, actually started their menstrual periods 5 months earlier than the children who did not drink fluoridated water. Then Dr. Jennifer Luke from England did a study on gerbils, and the same thing happened. High levels accumulated in the brain where it shuts down melatonin. Melatonin is the hormone that keeps menstruation at bay in females. In other words, it says, no, you're not 14, you're still 10. But the fluoride interferes with the production of melatonin, and so the body clock is very, very disturbed by that. And at 10 years old, or even sometimes younger, this is one of the parts that is responsible for early maturation in females.
And so that certainly is a very definite factor as far as its impact on the brain, impact on the reproductive system.
And then it also affects the serotonin. I mean, the melatonin and serotonin, the effects are, we do have a lack of studies. I mean, it's very, very hard for scientists to get funded to study anything about fluoride. The minute anybody finds out, oh, you want to do a study on what it does to the pin. This Dr. Luke is from England.
Oh, in fact, do you have a copy of that article? Could you get that off to me?
Absolutely.
Do you have a copy of the 10-year study? Now, I've got the Dr. Kumar studies, and you sent them to me, and he sent them to me as well. But if you have the 10-year study where they actually talk about the delay in the monarchy, I think this is so important.
Mike,
this affects every part of our body. It affects our bones. It affects our reproductive system.
Well,
it affects our endocrine system. It affects our thyroid. It affects the reproductive part of our body. It produces cancer. It lowers our intelligence. This is a deadly poison, and we are poisoning the American people, and some people know exactly what they're doing.
It's the editorial in 1943 in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It's their editorial that said, don't fluoridate the water. It is a protoplasmic poison at one part per million, the exact level that they fluoridate water.
But, of course, what happened was...
It's not us saying that it's a poison. It was the Journal of the American Medical Association in 1943.
Will you give me those articles?
Pardon me?
Would you give me those articles?
Yes, I mail that editorial out all the time. It talks about the embrittling factor for bones. And then in a huge osteoporosis book, again, it mentioned the embrittlement of bones. It replaces the hydroxyapatite with fluoroapatite. Also changes the form and function of protein.
But
it affects the elasticity.
We can't let the
bone.
Right, and that's absolutely right. And a doubling of the incidence of hip fractures in elderly
and
folks, men and women.
Yes, and that only all that was a 20-year exposure for women, and before their menopause, when the bones are still active in their uptake of fluoride. All it took was a 20-year exposure prior to the menopause to double their hip fracture rate at age 75. And to be specific, that's 6 versus 11 hip fractures per 1,000 women. And that is in Figure 1 of the Journal of the American Medical Association Utah Hip Fracture Study, August 12, 1992. Anybody can go get that study out of a library and look at Figure 1. And it's very, very disturbing to see that all it takes is 20-year exposure. And these women did not even grow up on fluoridated water as children, where the accumulation level is the highest level as children. They were adults when they first started drinking fluoridated water. So the impact on hip replacement, arthritic changes to the bone and joint for people who grew up on fluoridated water and are now in their 50s is absolutely a national tragedy.
And, of course, the people have worked at the fluoride plants. Now, this is not people necessarily drinking fluoridated water, but people who work in plants where there's a lot of fluoride, you know, in the air, they lose their teeth very, very readily. And of course, these people have all sorts of problems. They get pulmonary fluorosis. They have a marked increase in heart disease. In fact, the original studies comparing Newberg and Kensington, this study that was started back in 1945, at the end of 10 years, they found there was a marked difference in the incidence of heart disease with a much higher level of heart disease in Newburgh than in Kensington. And of course, they did a parallel study in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Muskegee in Michigan, and they had twice the rate of heart disease in Grand Rapids than you had in the other city. But the average dentist has never heard any of these things.
Of course not. And their wholesale thing depends on what they call the endorsements of the American Dental Association. But anybody who looks at their own literature can see where it's a total contradiction of what's in their own literature, that 30% of the children in this country have visible dental fluorosis on two teeth or more. Then there's another almost 40% who have the dental fluorosis on just the on one tooth. But this white, shocking white edges of the front middle teeth, very chalky, bloated-looking teeth, they're very white or with white spots or brown spots. You see it everywhere.
Yeah.
When you start looking at TV ads or just looking at children's teeth, I know teachers have told me they see it all the time.
And of course, this is a sign of fluoride toxicity. We're poisoning our children, Mike.
The embrittlement of the teeth as well as the bones.
So anything other questions you have?
Probably the teachers then blame the parents.
Right. If you haven't read the book, The Fluoride Deception, this is must reading. It
is
an excellent book. And, and you know, I actually read it through. I'm reading on the second time through, and I'm learning so much. But especially the fact that they hired the greatest propagandist in American history to sell this to the American people. The same man who sold American women the fact that it was smart to begin smoking.
The Boston Globe calls him the original spin doctor.
Right. Could you spell his name?
Bernays, Edward Bernays. He was Sigmund Freud's nephew.
I'm sorry, that was a little fast.
Bernays, Bernays. Edward Bernays.
With an S on the end.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Bernays. Back to the pineal, since it affects melatonin production, is there an insomnia problem resulting?
I don't know anything about that, Mike.
Well, that would be more the serotonin effect. The melatonin is basically a body clock hormone.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been studied too much, and certainly in this country it hasn't been studied at all in relation to fluoride. But in England, it was Dr. Luke who did the study with gerbils and found exactly what the Kingston study found in 1945.
And of course,
early maturation in females.
And almost every country in Europe has either didn't start fluoridation or has abandoned it. There's a very, very small part of England, about 10 or 12% that's fluoridated.
About 9% of England.
Right. And then, of course, the majority of Ireland is actually fluoridated. And actually, fluoride, Ireland has twice the incidence of heart disease that the rest of Europe does. I wonder why.
Well, Europe as a whole abandoned water fluoridation a long time ago. Some countries, like Sweden, tried it for 10 years and then quit. In fact, one of the highest recommendations for this new book, The Fluoride Deception by Christopher Bryson, is the Nobel laureate for medicine from Sweden, Dr. Arvid Carlsson. And he is quoted on the jacket of the book saying that he just simply hopes that this book gets the attention that it does deserve. We also have a thumbs-up review in the journal Nature just a month ago. High recommended reading for one and all.
And I think, the significant thing is, Mike, that industry had to convince the American people that fluoride was not dangerous. They had a Clean Air Act. It was going to come out. They were going to have to clean up the air, the emissions from their factories, because this is an essential part of all smelting operations, whether they're smelting aluminum, or beryllium, cadmium, magnesium, iron, steel, gold, silver, zinc. The key to this whole thing is fluoride, to enrich uranium, and they had to enrich uranium if we were going to build atom bombs. They had to use fluoride, and they knew it was a deadly industrial poison, so you had to do away with this precept. They were going to get a lot of industrial claims. They were going to get a lot of people suing. The factories were spewing this deadly smoke out and killing the cattle and the animals and killing off the orchards. So what they decided was to change a poison into a panacea, to take an industrial pollutant and replace it with the promise of a pretty smile.
Yes.
Okay, well, Dan, Mike, we're out of time. One more caller. Go ahead.
Real quick, the one thing I'm really pursuing is anything that affects the pineal gland because of its relationship to the third eye. And they could be doing things that would be creating a proclivity in people towards mediumship.
Which
would be very much a spiritually perverse thing that this New World Order crowd would like to stimulate in the public at large.
Thanks so much, Mike. Okay. Let's go to Dan from Spokane. Hi, Dan. A quick question.
Just a comment real quick. 38 years old and grew up with fluoride in the water in California. and never had a cavity, and real happy that there was fluoride in the water, so I'm real thankful for that. Thanks.
Well, are you sure that it's the fluoride and not the toothpaste?
Well, you know, I think
it was fluoride in the water. In fact, dentists that I've seen have said, yeah, it was a great attribute that you have fluoride in the water. It really helped you out.
Well, Dan, have you ever looked at the studies of what happened to the people who lived in communities that did not have fluoride in the water?
Nope.
Well, they didn't have any cavities either, as long as they used fluoridated toothpaste.
You always hear anecdotal stories like that, but we're looking at the published studies.
Uh-huh.
And also remember, 90% of tooth decay occurs on the molar surfaces where they use sealants. Fluoride was never claimed to affect the cavities that appear on the chewing surfaces of the molars.
What's
I think the whole fluoride paranoia is just that. Big paranoia.
You think it's just paranoia? Well, thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, if you look at the studies where you compare the fluoridated cities to the non-fluoridated cities, there's not a bit of difference between them. But, what we've done is affected the minds of an awful lot of people. So, if you really see what we've done, we have actually dropped the IQs of the American people down so that when we have our graduates from our high schools, they cannot effectively compete with the high school graduates from other countries. And if you wanted to destroy a great country, why do you know a better way to do it? People say it's paranoia. You're only paranoid when you imagine people are against you. I do hope that perhaps Dan would like to get the book, read it through, and find out who financed this whole movement. It was financed by the Atomic Energy Commission. It was financed by industry. It was financed by very powerful forces in government who had a hidden agenda. The same thing is true as far as the mercury and the vaccines and the cover-up of that, and that's an entirely different study, although I suspect that the fluoride actually helps, perhaps even helps, transport not only the aluminum but the mercury into the brain. But that gets a little complicated. Maureen, would you like to finish up the program here this evening? What are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Callers like that who throw names like paranoid around, that typically that kind of caller only has a personal anecdotal story to offer, whereas we offer published peer-reviewed studies to support our position. And
well, when you have to resort to name calling, why? Of course, you really don't have much of a position at all.
That's what I mean. The combination of me and a name calling situation is a typically very, very ignorant person on this issue. And I just have to tell you that the doubling of the hip fractures for women, the embrittlement of bones, the arthritic changes to the joints. We are living in an era right now, in an era where one out of three American adults has pain and of the joints, of the bones and joints. And this is from the CDC just a couple of years ago. And one of the first changes of fluoride is to affect the joints and the bones. And it, on bone scans, young women age 18 to 25 showed increased density and mass in the lumbar spine.
We're out of time. Maureen, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course you may say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, I would suggest that you get hold of Chris Bryson's excellent book, The Fluoride Deception, and find out who was behind selling this scam to the American people and why they hired Edward Bernay, the master propagandist, to sell the idea to the American people. And then look at the scientific studies, the incidence of hip fractures. What happens to the minds of children? as far, and the decrease in the IQs that have been measured in other countries referable to this. The fact that Europe has given up water fluoridation, are they all wrong and we're all right? And then, of course, the incidence relationship to fertility, to Down's disease, to testosterone level, to sperm mortality. Check out the facts and decide for yourself. We have a great four-tape set on water fluoridation. We have a great DVD on water fluoridation. I see an interview with Dr. Harvey Limebach, who personally told me he'd been threatened if he dared to speak out publicly again, ever again, about the dangers of water fluoridation. And then, of course, we will be putting together a syllabus. We'll actually have the testimony on what is in the fluoridated water. And the dentist will tell you this is fluoride. It is not. It is a fluosilicic acid, and it contains arsenic, and it contains lead, and it contains cadmium, and it contains polonium-20, and they're going to tell you where it's in very low levels, but these levels are high enough to produce about 1 in 300 people will get a cancer because of the arsenic in there, and the lead is certainly enough to lower the IQ about 7.5 points, at least according to a recent testimony given by Dr. Mann, who's a professor of chemistry now. All we can do is ask you to check the facts. Perhaps there's nothing to worry about. Perhaps this is just paranoia. What happens if it's true? What happens if we are progressively poisoning the American people? And this is being done intentionally, and everyone is deceived. Well, we just simply ask you to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a copy of my November newsletter on fluoride, we'll send you one free of charge. Of course, we hope you'll want to get the four-tape set on fluoride and the update on fluoride. We have both an original four-tape set and now the update on fluoride. We have a DVD, we have the book, and then we carry Dr. Russell Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, which has a section on the mercury in the vaccines that is poisoning the minds of our children. And this is why we've had such a dramatic increase in the incidence of autism, and at least part of the reason of why there's been such a dramatic increase in the incidence of ADD and ADHD and cognitive abnormality, and between that and the fluoride, why 1 in 6 American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality or behavioral abnormality. So, and those are the CDC's own statistics. They really admit it, and then they say, oh, shucks, but we have no idea why it is happening. Well, we've still got Maureen on the line, but I want to say good night and thank you so much to Maureen. And, of course, we'll want to hope that you'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Go up on my webpage. We have a couple of articles there on fluoride. Pull them down and read them through. And if you think it's paranoid, read the December newsletter. It was written by, basically, it's the testimony of Dr. William Hersey, who's a scientist who works for the EPA, who represents the scientists who work for the EPA, who are frightened to death by the implications of what we're doing to our people. That's RadioLiberty.com, the November and December newsletters. Pray for America, pray for revival, and pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, pardon me, we'll be back in just a moment here with another program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because, well, I guess go ahead and give us a call because our regularly scheduled guest, Lou Epton, all we're getting is his answering machine. So maybe it's going to be an open night call for the next hour because I have absolutely nothing prepared. We were prepared for last hour on the issue of fluoride because I think it's a fascinating subject. But maybe we can talk about what's going on over in Iraq if you'd like to. We can talk about what's happening financially, if you'd like to. We could talk about some of the new information that's now coming out on the issue of mercury and of course, the mercury that has been placed into the vaccines here that have been given to our children for so many years. And for about 30 years, they put into our vaccines, maybe even 40 years for that matter, something called thimerosal, which was an ethyl mercury poison. It was put into the vaccines, and of course they knew it was a poison. They'd used it for other things. They'd used it, for instance, as some sort of eye drops or to lenses. Contact lenses, and that was outlawed many years ago because there were really so many problems that were inherent in that, but they left it in the vaccines, and so often children, you know, would be quite normal. They'd be developing normally. They'd begin to walk at the normal level and talk at the normal age, and then they'd take their shots, their mercury shot, which was included with their DPT shot, and they would become autistic. And then, of course, more recently, with the MMWR, where the children were getting live measles and mumps and rubella virus, and many times they would get their autism after that because they would develop and measles, enteritis, and the lining of their intestine would become very permeable, and they begin absorbing toxins that would actually get into the brain and create the autistic symptoms. Well, we've got some calls on the line, and it doesn't look like we're going to have Lou, so let's go to Steve, who's calling from Lexington, Tennessee. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Did you have a question or comment?
Just a comment. Now, I don't know whether this is in line with what you've been discussing on your program, but this is the first time that I've called into Republic Network, and my wife and I, recently moved down to Tennessee from up in the Northeast area, and she found Republic Radio just by accident, and now she's really hooked on it, and is just as fascinated and so interested in all the different programs. And I wanted to see if you're interested in talking about Dmitry Dudumin. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
I not only have heard of him, I actually interviewed him before he passed away.
Oh,
he was,
okay.
He was sitting right across from me in the studio where I'm sitting now, because he and the interpreter, and we had a very pleasant talk with him. Yes, I think Dmitry Dudumin's information was fascinating.
Yeah, well, we...
Would you like to tell our listeners, though, who are out there in the listening audience who don't know who Dmitry was, why don't you tell them a little bit about him before we discuss him?
Yeah, we went to some meetings that were held by the Prophecy Club, and they had his grandson there, and, of course, we had heard of him before, like in 1998, 1999, that he was thrown into a communist prison in Romania, and he felt the Lord was telling him that he should come to America and he didn't know why, and the Lord was saying, well, because America is going to be bombed, and I want you to go there and witness to them and try to help them to know about me.
Now, I think that basically he, as I remember, he was living in Romania. He was smuggling Bibles, and of course, Brother Andrew, at least according to Dimitri, was smuggling Bibles into him, and he was smuggling Bibles through Romania and sometimes even into the adjacent communist states.
Yeah.
And he was, of course, had really had become a convert to Christianity. And then, as you say, he was told, he claims that God told him to come to America and warn them that we were going to have a nuclear attack here in this country. And his plea was for people to begin to understand what was coming down the line, and that the repentance, if people didn't repent, why these terrible things were going to happen, and maybe even no matter what they did, America was going to be largely obliterated by a nuclear attack.
Yeah. Well, at the time that we first heard about him and heard his message, it sounded really hard to believe, because there was no such thing as any attack coming on this country. Now, of course, since we've had the World Trade Center bombings, we know it's possible. But one thing that his grandson told us at the Prophecy Club, which I found very interesting, was that he said that in line, or at almost at the same time as bombings of this country, that this country would be invaded by another government or another country, and the U.S. Army wouldn't be able to hold them off because they would be involved in putting down a revolution in its own people. And when I hear the things that are going on and how many U.S. citizens are figuring they have to take arms up against their own country, which I personally don't agree with, you know, it kind of makes me realize that he may have been right about that too.
He may very well have been right about that too.
We may be in for some kind of civil war, and I mean, God help us if we can't do things in a peaceful way of getting the right people elected to make changes. But you know, I just wanted to bring that up and see what you thought about it.
Well, I hope and pray that we never have a revolution in America. But the trouble is that this country has turned against God.
Yeah.
And there really are secret societies out there. Hold that thought. We're just going to bring on some more of our stations right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Steve is calling from Lexington, Tennessee, and, of course, was asking me about Dimitri Duteman. And Dimitri was a Christian who'd come to this country, as I recall, from Romania. He had, his story was that God had told him to come here to warn the American people about the coming of a nuclear attack on this country. Well, he traveled this country from one end to the other. He didn't speak English, but he traveled, and 4 or 5 years ago, he had some sort of a accident, and he died. I mean, cerebral vascular accident, cardiac attack, something of the sort. But I think his message was very valid. Certainly, David Wilkerson in New York has said the same thing. I've been saying the same thing for a long time. And I, of course, believe behind everything going on, there are spiritual forces. And, of course, we'll often quote Thomas Jefferson, who said, you know, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. So I fear that God is going to bring vengeance on this country, because we have been so richly blessed by him, and we have, of course, turned away from him. And as a country, we've abandoned our Christian principles.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you for taking my call, and I'm glad that you did know of him and that you're aware of his message. And I mean, that I just wanted to bring that up and see what you thought about it. So.
I think that we should all, if you listen to my programs regularly, we often tell people, begin making preparations. You know, terrible things lie ahead, whether it be nuclear or biological or chemical attack or natural disasters. I think any, all, or all of them together could happen. And if
right.
you haven't made any preparations, why, you and your family are going to be totally panicked. If you've made your preparations, I'm not saying that they're going to save your life, But they might. They might allow you to help others. But, of course, the people who are unprepared are going to be totally panicked and fearful. The people who are prepared, not only physically but spiritually, may very well get through this. We hope and pray that's what's going to happen. Anyway, thanks very much, and I'm so glad you and your wife are listening.
Yeah, we love that network.
All right.
God bless. Every program is good.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Michael calling from Kentucky, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And since we don't have a regularly scheduled guest this evening, he must be playing hooky. Why, of course, we'd love to have your call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've got Michael calling from the great state of Kentucky. Michael, how are you?
I'm all right. The subject last hour has been something that I've been somewhat fascinated with for a long time. I too saw some of Dimitri Duderman's material in the Prophecy Club, there was a few pretty significant prophecies of his that actually happened, wasn't there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the major thing that he's talked about is the fact that it would be a nuclear attack on America. It hasn't happened yet, but I really fear that. But there is a force that is driving our country that really doesn't make any sense. In fact, there was a recent speech that Seymour Hersh gave at a synagogue. And Seymour Hersh is one of the most astute observers we have in this country. I've followed his writings for many years, and I've always felt him to be very honest. He's very liberal, but he's an honest man. And he was just saying that there's a small group, about 8 or 9 neoconservatives who've gained control of our government and are driving us into this terrible war. They seem to control the president. He says, I don't understand how this is happening. Maybe historians of the future somehow will be able to explain this, but these people, 8 or 9 people, control our government today, and they're taking us into this horrible war with body bags, and there's no end in sight, and it's only going to get worse.
Well, there's two hubs of networks, I think, that are somewhat sensational to the point where people won't believe it. But there's enough leaks that they haven't plugged them all between Bohemian Grove and Yale and the secret society there, the Skull and Bones. Tying into the last hour's topic, of course, the Manhattan Project, it's openly known, was planned and orchestrated from Bohemian Grove. So here you have one of the most top secret, elaborate projects ever conceived of by man, and it's planned in a private club. And you can go to the University of California at Berkeley, I think, still has an article with pictures of some of the orchestrators of the Manhattan Project, and of course that generated tremendous amounts of stuff that had to be, something had to be done with it, and one of those substances was fluoride. As you pointed out, you and your guest last hour pointed out, I did in my studies on the subject run across materials, and I don't have it memorized as far as the studies that were done on melatonin, but there is a correlation between the melatonin levels and sleep, but I think it affects certain cycles of sleep, and I've known people that try to take melatonin and can't, the over-the-counter melatonin, because it disturbs their sleep so much as far as causing disturbing and vivid dreams. Yeah. And that is the tie-in there, I think, disturbing your... what's supposed to be your normal sleep cycles, you end up not getting a restful type of sleep. And so it ends up being a chronic problem. The Air Force has studied this. A lot of military has studied the sleep cycles because it affects people's performance and their overall, like you say, IQ or intelligence and ability to perform tasks. Is all affected. So to call it paranoia is the height of ignorance, I think, by that last caller.
But you see, the problem is that the average individual thinks that if you don't go along with what everybody else is doing, you must be paranoid. Well, I always like to say you're only paranoid when you imagine people are against you. There really are people out there who have put over this scam on the American people. Now, the issue with fluoride and the pineal gland has to do, at least with what Maureen was talking about in the last hour, with the premature onset of menarche, in other words, early periods in girls. And, and it was found not only that it occurred in Newburgh, New York, at the end of 10 years, they checked the difference between the two cities. What was the difference? One was fluoridated and the other one wasn't. It was an experiment they were carrying out on the American people. And at the end of that time, why they pointed out that in Newburgh, New York, where the water was fluoridated, the girls began menstruating about 9 months earlier than the girls in Kingston, New York, number one. They also found that there was twice as much heart disease in Newburgh, New York, as there was in Kingston, but they didn't put that in the report. Why? Because they didn't dare let the American people understand the implications of poisoning the people. And this is the reality of what this is all about. And as you begin getting into the background of the studies, and of course they're beautifully laid out in the book, The Fluoride Deception, but there's so many facts there, you sort of lose track of them. So I'm trying to put together a talk and a syllabus where, well, it'll just be a few facts and people can remember those. Otherwise, you got so much information you can't remember anything. But they've done other studies on Goebbels. Why they'd pick a Goebbels, I don't know, but this doctor, researcher over in England, fed Goebbels fluoridated water and found out that the girl Goebbels had a premature onset of menarche as well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That would tend to verify what had been found in human beings there in the original studies. But I bet there's not one person in 1,000 that ever heard of the studies we're talking about tonight.
Well, there's a lot of scientific information, because it's not peer accepted or whatever. It never gets published. Now, it doesn't mean that it's, I guess, not all of it is publishable, I guess. Rises to the level of peer acceptance. But one collection of studies and scientific information that I ran across that also speaks to the early onset of puberty and endocrine disruption of the glandular system of the body is a Soy Online Service out of New Zealand. That's soyonlineservice.co.nz, and they've got quite a collection of material and scientific papers that were not what they call suppressed. It also speaks to another cause for early onset of periods. There's accounts of women, 100 years ago that did not start menstruation until they were 17, 18 years old. And now you've got them in the 8, 7, 8, 9, 10 year of age. So there's a lot going on, a lot of factors in order to invoke that kind of drastic change. I don't know that you could just blame it on fluoride, but there's a lot of stuff that's going on that mimics estrogen, and it disrupts the endocrine system.
You're absolutely right. Well, the book, The Fluoride Deception, is the finest thing I've read. And of course, we have a number of 4 tape sets, and we have an excellent DVD on this, and we're going to be coming up with more and more material. And I hope that you'll keep listening, and you'll help us to get the truth out there. Anyway, look, I want to thank you so very much for calling. And we're going to have to go to Bill, who's actually calling us from New York City. But hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Do you mind hanging on? We're going to have to just take a quick break, and then we'll be right with you. What part of New York are you calling from?
Syracuse.
Okay, you're upstate New York. So we'll be here in just a moment and explore this a little bit further. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 831-464-8295. And we've got Bill calling from Syracuse. Bill, did you have a question or comment?
Yes. I was listening to your show in the last hour.
Right.
And your guests seem to think that there's nothing wrong with fluoride in toothpaste.
We didn't say there wasn't anything there. I said that it was the fluoridated toothpaste that was killing the bacteria and cutting down on the dental cavities. But fluoride, of course, the way it works is it is a poison and it kills the bacteria.
Okay. The reason why I was calling, because I've read Dr. Blaylock's book on the health and nutrition secrets that can save your life.
Right.
And he seemed to be against fluoride, period.
He is very much against it, and I think he's a very, very good doctor.
In fact, he seemed to be more against the fluoride in the dental treatments and toothpaste than the water, even.
Okay, yeah, well, we were just pointing out that it's the fluoride in the toothpaste that you have the dramatic decrease in the dental caries. Okay, but remember, of course, if you've got it in your mouth, you're going to absorb it as well because it can go right through the mucosa of your mouth. So any other points you want to make, I agree with you. It's what we're doing is poisoning the people of this country.
Yeah, well, ever since I've read that book, I've stopped using fluoride toothpaste, and I've started drinking bottled water and distilled water whenever I can get it.
That is an excellent book. We of course, distributed. Did you get that book through our ministry, or how did you have it?
Yes, I did.
Right. I think he's done an excellent book, and his section on fluoride, his section on mercury, his section on aspartame, his section on vaccinations, and then it's just a section on just general health. I think that's one of the finest books we offer today.
I agree. It's a very good book.
Okay. Did you have any other points you wanted to make?
No, at least not about health in general, anyway.
All right, fine.
I could keep you on all night if you wanted to, but now that's it.
All right, fine. Well, thanks very much. That was Bill calling from New York, and again, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Let's go to Maggie calling us from Texas. Hi, Maggie. How are you here listening to us down in Texas?
I was actually listening to you via the Internet, and I had to get off the Internet to use the phone.
All right, fine.
So now I'm listening to you via phone.
All right. Do you have a, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Earlier in this program, you mentioned thimerosal also. And like most people of a certain age, I grew up with my mother occasionally using the antiseptics, methylate or mercurochrome.
Right.
And so because of that, that had been my favorite antiseptic. I didn't use it that often, but I did use it. And then about 10 or 15 years ago, it suddenly mysteriously disappeared from all the shelves.
Do you know why it disappeared?
Well, I was told at the time that it was harmful.
It was harmful. That they found it had mercury in it, and they were getting evidence of mercury toxicity, and they were using it sometimes on the umbilical cord in the children. They were getting, you know, newborn children. They were getting terribly toxic reactions from it. Yes, when I first started practicing medicine, we used to use it all the time and paint people red, and then suddenly it disappeared. Hold on.
Yes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this evening we're doing an open line program, so if you have a question or comment, don't hesitate to call us at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, and unfortunately our regularly scheduled guest is, I'm sure his answering machine isn't getting through to him, and we'll hope to have him on later. He's a good friend, does a great job, but right now we have Maggie calling us from Texas, and was asking about methylate and mercurochrome, and when I was growing up, and even when I started practicing medicine, we used to paint this red stuff on people all the time. It is an excellent antiseptic. It kills, but the trouble is it absorbs into the body and it poisons the brain, and it poisons so many aspects of the human body. It produces cancer. It decreases the sexual function, but it's the major problem is it's so toxic to the brain. And of course, eventually, in their wisdom, why the government outlawed the use of methylate and mercurochrome, but they continued to allow the use of thimerosal in our vaccinations. And so many of the parents of autistic children I've talked to have said, my child was perfectly normal. They were developing at the regular rate and not missing any of the landmarks until they went in and they had their DPT shot, and within a few days why they began to regress. And I went to the doctor and he said, oh, it couldn't have been the shot. And I'm sure the doctor was a little frightened. He thought he was going to be blamed. Not his fault at all. It was the fact that the government knew it was damaging the minds of our children and suppressed that information. That's what's so unconscionable. Anything else, Maggie?
Well, I guess what's so extraordinary to me is that it sounds like the same people who banned it on one level are advocating it on another and even worse level. And I have done some research on my own on thimerosal, just digging out articles and so on, trying to get to the bottom of it all because I have friends who have autistic children. And when I ask around about this withdrawal of methylate from the shelves, it's like it went into a memory hole or something because nobody will talk about it and nobody seems to remember it.
Oh, I remember it, but I will tell you, I was practicing medicine at the time,
yes.
And you know, we used to have it in the office, and then we couldn't buy it anymore. Nobody ever told me why this had happened. It wasn't until I left medicine, I had time to begin reading and studying and looking into these things, I realized that suddenly they became so worried about the mercury toxicity that they took the mercury out of thermometers. We always had the mercury thermometers, and they took the mercury out of the sphygmomanometers, and they begin telling us about the terrible danger of the mercury in the fish, and old pregnant women shouldn't be eating fish, and yet they left toxic doses of mercury in our vaccines, and they knew it was there. In fact, Dr. Hilleman, who just recently passed away in this last couple of weeks, but the senior expert on vaccines for Merck, had written a directive to the leaders of Merck and said, you know, we are giving newborn children 87 times the maximum allowable of mercury in the hepatitis B vaccine. And you know what happened? They continued giving our children the vaccine. And there's no reason for adding that. You don't have to add thimerosal to the vaccines, but they did it anyway. And you have to ask yourself, why would they be so stupid? Unintentionally. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Maggie?
I guess no more. That's just horrible. Do you happen to recall exactly when that recall of the antiseptic?
Well, I went to practice about 1960, and I think that by 65 or 66, they suddenly just all disappeared. But
really?
You know, remember, this is a long time ago. And, and so we went from there to... we went... to other types of sort of iodized soap, and that began what we use for antiseptics.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you then.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, why, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But when we get into this discussion of mercury, what really is so unconscionable is the fact that high government officials knew exactly what was happening. In the year 2000 or 1999, I guess it was 1999 or 2000, they had a meeting of about 55 experts, and it was held in Georgia. It was sponsored by the government. They brought all these experts together, and there was a Dr. Verstraeten, in my understanding, who presented the CDC evaluation of the statistics that they had accumulated on the relationship between thimerosal and the vaccines, and of course the onset of autism. And as he presented this material to the doctors there, it became very obvious that there was a direct causal relationship. Because, you see, what had happened is that many of the statistics from large HMOs all across the country were given to the CDC. And some of the HMOs use vaccines that contain thimerosal, and others contain vaccines that do not. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we were just telling you that some of the HMOs used vaccines that contained thimerosal, and some of them did not. And there was a dramatic difference in the incidence, sometimes up to six times the difference, of the children who got the vaccines that had thimerosal and those who didn't, and a tremendous increase in the incidence of thimerosal. And so they were telling this meeting of all these doctors, about 55 of them, what the statistics showed, and there was just no question at all, there was a direct relationship between thimerosal and the onset of autism in the children. And then the question came as what to do. Well, the general theme of this meeting, and of course, fortunately, this was a top secret meeting financed by the government, but they did not want the public to know. Originally, this was classified by the government, and at the meeting, some of the doctors said, well, there's no question there's a relationship, but we can't let the public know about this. Why, they will lose confidence in the medical establishment. They will want to take vaccines, and vaccines have done so much good. We cannot tell them the truth. And, of course, one of the doctors got up and said, well, I don't care about you, but my grandchildren aren't going to have this. I mean, and another one got up and said, well, I'll tell you what, if it meant that one of my grandchildren was going to lose just one point of their IQ, I wouldn't tolerate it. But all of them agreed not to tell the American people the truth. And about 4 years later, Dr. Verstappen, by this time, was no longer working for the CDC. He was working for, of all people, for one of the companies that was actually creating the very vaccines that were creating the problem. So he writes an article, and it appears in the Journal of Pediatrics, summarizing what was said at the meeting. And my understanding is, from what I've heard, I haven't read the article, but I've been told by a number of people, he simply lied in the article and left out all of the information that was said, and came to the conclusion that this meeting said that there was just nothing to worry about. And this doctor is now outside the city, outside the country, living in another country, so he can't be subpoenaed before a congressional committee to answer why he wrote in this article things that were entirely different than he had that actually been decided at this meeting. Now, the minutes of the meeting were actually classified. The CDC would not release them. And it was only because Congressman David Weldon, who's a physician himself, used the Freedom of Information Act and threatened the CDC. He was finally able to get this report, and it's up on the Internet, and we have copies of it. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. If you agree, if you disagree, but we've been talking about the fluoride and the vaccines that has poisoned and destroy the minds of so many children. And what's even more unconscionable is there's been an orchestrated, coordinated effort all across America to convince the children whose minds have been destroyed by the mercury and the vaccines that there is nothing that can be done. I don't know how many of you remember, but it was about, maybe 6 weeks ago, that articles appeared in Time Magazine and U.S. News and World Report and Newsweek and on television, all of the major networks and all of the major newspapers, almost as if somebody had given orders that they were going to put out a message on autism. And the basic theme was always the same. Autism is a terrible disease. Autism is increasing in the United States. At one time, it was 1 in 10,000 children were autistic, and now it's down to about 1 in 166. And of course, many of the other children have other neurodevelopmental abnormalities. And nobody knows why this is, but we can assure you that it is not related to the thimerosal in the vaccines. And the last thing you want to do is get your child chelated or treated by some of these crazy people who think it's the mercury in the vaccines that's responsible. And of course, if you have your child chelated, why, it might damage their liver, it might damage their kidneys. Oh, you wouldn't, if you love your child, you're not going to get the child treated. And of course, the terrible and the frightening part of this is that many of these children, when they are properly treated, will have a total or almost total recovery. And so the coordinated effort by the people who control our medium to keep parents from getting done what needs to be done to help their children. Now, those of you who heard our interview with Dr. Mark and David Geyer last week here on Radio Liberty, it was a two-hour interview. Fortunately, the clarity on the tapes was not good, but the information is fabulous, and if you have an autistic child, you need to get that two-hour interview. But Dr. Geyer has come up with a treatment. And basically, it is because, first of all, this disease, autism, is about 6 times more frequent in boys than in girls. So is there some relationship between the testosterone that the boys, children have over the influence of the girls? Because boys have testosterone and girls have estrogens, even at a very, very young age. And so they came up with the idea that maybe somehow the testosterone played a part in the male susceptibility to the mercury in the vaccines. So what they did was there's some sort of a medication that will block testosterone in boys. And then, of course, they would actually chelate the children. In other words, by blocking the testosterone, the child could be treated much more efficiently with chelation, types of chelation to get rid of the mercury, which is situated in the brain. And they told the story of this 1 9-year-old child. Couldn't speak, could barely walk, just totally, vegetative, and able to communicate at all with all the other signs of autism. And within a month, this child was talking and was beginning to read, and 2 months after this treatment, miraculous. And they've started this on some other treatment. Now, this may be a quirk. It could be, but it also could be the answer to the dreams of so many parents, because there is nothing more devastating than to have an autistic child. It's destroyed so many homes and so many marriages, and of course, it's all unnecessary. Incidence of 1 in 10,000 autistic children before we started vaccinating, and just an explosive increase since then. Now, probably there are a few children who would be autistic simply on the basis of genetics, and they were autistic at birth, but it is the regressive type of autism. It is the autism that comes on after the child has had a period of normal development, and then they have an injection, usually a vaccine, and they begin getting worse. And there are probably several different reasons for this. One is the mercury, and the other, of course, in the live vaccines, the MMR, because these children get an intense colitis. They get an autistic colitis, and it is directly referable to the measles viral infection of the gut, of the lower intestine, which of course makes the lining of the bowel so much more permeable, and then they begin to absorb the products of milk and wheat, gluteins and other things, and these are toxic to the brain. And so basically, if you can put them on a very strict diet and chelate them, a lot of these children will get well. Now, there's a few doctors who have taken this up. Usually they're doctors whose children have become autistic. We did a wonderful interview with an obstetrician who had 2 autistic children. Here's an obstetrician. Her own children are autistic. And of course, she has begun to give up her OBGYN practice, spends full time treating autistic children. And of course, her description of how wonderful and miraculous it is to see these children changing. It's almost, as she said, like a veil is lifting from their minds. And the doctors in her community ridicule her for treating autistic children, because everybody knows why all medical journals tell you there's nothing can be done. The only trouble is things can be done. And these children can be helped, and organized medicine is doing everything they can to discourage that, right along with the people who control the major media in the United States. And you go back here 6 or 8 weeks and you look at those articles in Time Magazine and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report, and you don't think there's control of our media, why, you just go ahead and take a look at that. They were all coordinated. They all had the same message, and all of it was a lie. And the information is out there. They just don't want you to hear it. And I think a lot of this is, of course, to counter a book that's just come out called Evidence of Harm, going into the background, of course, of the influence of thimerosal and the terrible damage it's done. Well, let's go to Jack calling from Michigan. Hi, Jack. How you doing?
Great, Dr. Stan. I almost am reluctant to interrupt your brilliant scholarly presentation there.
Well, I flatter me to get you almost anything, Jack, but right now go ahead, because I really had nothing planned, and I'm just sort of talking off the top of my head and sharing my frustration and concern about what's going on. But do you have a question or comment on this or something else?
Well, indeed. The previous hour, a caller said the fluoride discussion issue is a hoax and it's all paranoia. Well, I believe it was your interview with Christopher Bryson who identified the fact that the Manhattan Project utilized sodium fluoride as the weaponizing agent for uranium into plutonium. And I believe you stated that the research shows that there were numerous orchards and farmers whose cattle were destroyed by the effluent fallout from those nearby sodium fluoride plants.
Right, and of course the peach orchards, and this was in DuPont, this was New Jersey, and it was the area next to the DuPont plants, where of course the peach orchards died and the cattle died, and there was areas in Oregon where of course the people got intensely ill simply because they were breathing the smoke from the factories that were putting out this powerful fluoride effluent in the smoke. But specifically, the DuPont plant was working for the Atomic Energy Commission as part of the Manhattan Project. And this was during the Second World War. And eventually, after the war, why, the local farmers brought a suit against the DuPont, and they did get some sort of a settlement at all. I don't know how much it was, but they did get a settlement because, of course, this destroyed the animals, it destroyed the orchards, but what's it doing to the human beings?
Indeed. And, Dr. Stan, I used to swim a lot and was a lifeguard at one point, and I would get these brainstem headaches every time I was in the natatorium swimming or guarding. And then I would go outside after a while, and within 20 to 30 minutes, it would totally dissipate. So here we have chlorinated drinking water in addition to fluoridated drinking water, and all I can think is that in itself is a totally insidious cocktail. But didn't you mention, or was it Bryson who mentioned, that some prominent scientist or physician was hired during the Manhattan Project, or maybe there were several, and they totally lied about the data?
The most prominent one was a man named Harold Carpenter Hodge. He was a professor at the University of Rochester, and he was really the sort of the Machiavelli behind this whole thing. He was the one who was responsible for the plutonium experiments, where they'd, of course, inject plutonium into unsuspecting people. He was in charge of toxicology for the Atomic Energy Commission. He was the gentleman who had actually sold the American people that fluoride was simply a natural element. It was necessary for health. It was a normal nutrient. He set up the safe levels for the consumption of fluoride with no scientific basis at all, stating empirically that he was the expert on it. Here, after all, he was the first president of the American Society for Toxicology. He was the in charge of the toxicology division of the National Academy of Sciences. He was well known throughout the entire country, and he said it was perfectly safe to eat between 20 and 40 milligrams of fluoride a day for 20 years, and after that you might get some toxicity. There were no scientific studies. Eventually he lowered the level to 10 to 20 milligrams a day, and I think you should be eating no fluoride at all, because it is a enzymatic poison, and it poisons the human body. It kills bacteria, it kills insects, it kills pests and rats, and it kills human beings.
Indeed, Dr. Stan, and well, a question on a tube of toothpaste. Isn't there 1,500, 1,500 parts per million versus one part per million in drinking water?
I really don't. I'm not sure what somebody's going to have to look at a toothpaste tube and tell me. I haven't actually compared. But the drinking water has 1 part per million of fluoride, but it also has lead and arsenic, because 90% of the material that's used is not, you know, sodium fluoride or calcium fluoride. It is the effluent from the phosphate factories, and they have a product there that is so toxic they can't vent it out through the furnace, through the smokestacks into the air, because it's too toxic. It's too toxic to put into lakes. It's too toxic to put in rivers. So they put it in our drinking water.
And then, Dr. Stan, in Europe, isn't it the case that they ozonate the water along with not fluoridating the water?
I really don't know. I do know that in Europe they don't fluoridate the water, but I don't know about the ozonating of it. I'm going to be like the unidentifiable source who declined to be quoted, but set off the record that he had no comment.
I see.
Okay, anything else, Jack?
No, Dr. Stan, I guess other than it's just an awesome experience to tune into you every night.
Well, God bless. Thanks very much.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Eric calling from Compton. My goodness, we get two calls from Eric today. How are you doing, Eric?
Hi, Doc. I have a habit of calling at the last minute. So
that's all right. Good to hear from you.
You know, Doc, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your ministry. I've been listening to you for about 8 to 10 years now, and, you know, I just love how you don't just talk. You can, anybody who doesn't believe what you have to say, you can send them the documentation to back up what you say. You just don't put anybody on. You do your research. You do your homework, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much.
We
do
encourage
our best.
You to keep it up, and people, you know, you listen. You can teach people to think objectively, is what you helped me do. I'll give you a good example. When they had Terri Schiavo on TV, they put a picture up of her, and they said, "This is Terri Schiavo's 12th day without water." Well, if you're not thinking critically, you'll think that the picture you were looking at was her 12th day.
Right.
That's not what it was. That was not her on the 12th day of her fast. And this is the kind of stuff that they do. And I just appreciate you for helping me to think critically, Doc. Everything you say, just all the pieces have a tendency to fit together. You have the guy on periodically talking about that this new church in Saddleback. What is that?
This is the church growth movement.
The church growth movement. And all of a sudden, now you're talking about this, all of a sudden, this guy who shoots up all these people, this lady talks about this book. All of a sudden, the next thing you know, hits on CNN. Well, who owns CNN? Ted Turner. Well, if you know anything about Ted Turner, you know he's one world player.
Right.
All the pieces always seem to fit, Dr. Stan. Love you, brother. You just keep up the good work. I've been supporting you, and I'll continue to support you.
God bless you. Thanks very much, Eric.
Take care, Doc.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to, we've got Rick calling from Berlin, Wisconsin. Hi, Rick.
Hey there.
Hi. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I've been only listening to you for about 3 weeks, so I'm kind of a new caller.
Okay, fine. Well, that's fine. Well, it's good to hear from you. I have a question or comment.
Yeah, well, you were talking about chelating, I think it was.
Yes, chelation. It means of getting the mercury out of the body.
Okay, can you tell me a little more about how that's done? I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. Well, that's not my strong point, but I'll tell you what I know.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Of course, we're Rick calling from Berlin, Wisconsin. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, the chelation is the method of trying to get something that'll get the mobilize the mercury that's in the human body and get it out. Now, some people will use these various products to get calcium out of the body, and supposedly this is helpful to prevent arteriosclerotic heart disease or cutting back on the incidence of coronary artery disease. But there are other chelating agents that will actually get mercury. And there are two ways to do this. Or maybe basically there are three ways to do it. One is to give products intravenously, but it's hard to give things intravenously to children. And of course, sometimes you might mobilize too much mercury too soon and create some reaction to that. Another method that they have is there's something that you can put on the skin, and it is then absorbed into the body, and it will attack the mercury, and it will actually mobilize the mercury. Now, Dr. Rimland, who's the Autism Association of the United States, and I, you can certainly get in touch with us off the air. We can put you in touch with him. And he, of course, has been treating autism for 40 years. His son was autistic, and he's been in this battle ever since then, trying to get people educated as far as autism is concerned, its relationship to mercury. And this is one of the things that he advocates, is the transdermal chelation. You put this cream on the skin, it's absorbed, it goes through the body, it mobilizes the mercury and tends to draw it out. And you can tell if it's working because, of course, you'll find increased evidence of mercury in the urine and in the feces. And, of course, you start getting the mercury out of the body. Many times, autism is actually reversible. So if you need more information, we're going to have a 4-tape set on autism, or give us a call off the air and we'll get the information for you. Well, this is Dr. Stan. A caller had called in and mentioned that fluoride is in Prozac and other antidepressant drugs, and that is absolutely true. Fluoride has a tremendous impact on the mind. It's in Prozac and Zoloft and Luvoft, I think that's what they call it. We use, of course, in medicine to use something called halothane. And halothane was basically a fluoride anesthetic, and of course it's in sarin gas. That's the active ingredient in sarin gas. Fluoride is Cipro. You know, there's this antibiotic that's used today. It's very specific for the anthrax bacillus. But it also, if you take Cipro, it'll tend to cause your tendons to break down. Why? Because it's a fluoridated compound. And fluorine attacks the enzymes and, of course, destroys tendons, it destroys joints, it destroys every aspect of our body, it destroys our minds. And there is no safe fluoride compound. Now, we use this sort of thing. Certainly, it's used as in the smelters. It's used in flux. It's used in freon gas. It's Scotchgard. Scotchgard products that we used to have were, of course, made of a fluoride, a carbonated fluoride. But of course, they took that off the market because 3M actually took that off the market because they found that in animal experiments, why, of course, it affected the eyes of newborn children. They were born with deformed eyes, and the families of the children of the workers in the factories were born with deformed eyes as well. And so 3M actually took Scotchgard off the market. It was a great product. I mean, you would have Scotchgard, rugs, and you'd have Scotchgard clothing, and they couldn't stain, but also, of course, the implications and the medical liability, and of course, they took that off the market. They haven't told you why they did that, but that is, of course, the reason for the terribly toxic effects and the destructive effect of Scotchgard products. And so you can't buy Scotchgard, but there are all sorts of other carbonated fluoride compounds out there that are equally toxic. There's fluoride in almost everything we deal with today. And almost all of these things are toxic, and industry knows they're toxic. That's why they had to convince us that fluoride was not a poison, it was a panacea. It was the promise of a beautiful smile, smiling teeth, pretty teeth, and of course, once you changed the perception, you eliminated the problem. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I hope you enjoyed the program this evening. I always enjoy the open lines, but I always appreciate the calls from our various listeners out across America as well. Now, this is the time I certainly want to mention we do have some excellent material on water fluoridation, and of course we have two 4-tape sets. So one is the original 4-tape set on water fluoridation. The other is the fluoride update. We have Chris Bryson's book, The Fluoride Deception, which I think every American who values their children and values their own health should read. We have a DVD, and we do actually hear the various experts in this field talking about that. We will be glad to have you go up on our website at radioliberty.com and pull down my November and December newsletters and read them and read them very carefully and memorize them and feel free to copy them and distribute them. I think the information contained in them is vitally important. And then, of course, we carry the book Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Russell Blaylock. It has an excellent section on fluoride, also has an excellent section on mercury, an excellent section on aspartame, because they're, of course, poisoning our children with aspartame. And you're hearing all this talk today about, oh, all these children are obese. It's the McDonald's fault. It's the Colonel's fault. No, it's the aspartame and the MSG. They produce a lesion in the brain that creates pathological obesity, and you can't ever get the weight off. And it produces permanent brain changes and permanent brain damage. And that is aspartame, and we can thank Donald Rumsfeld for that. The FDA spent 15 years, or at least 10 years, opposing introducing aspartame into our diet because it's made of three poisons, aspartic acid, which in high doses is a toxin, methanol, which of course produces blindness and is a toxin, and phenylalanine, which in high doses is a toxin. And of course, they know that. They just don't want the American people to know it. It produces brain damage. Both MSG and aspartame produce brain lesions that produce pathological obesity. But I bet you're not going to hear that from Dan Rather. Well, of course, Dan's gone now, but from who's ever going to take Dan's place. But you're not going to hear it from Russ or Sean Hannity, although Sean Hannity's been coming up with some pretty good things on fluoride recently, and I want to congratulate him on that. But hey, there are so many things out here that once we can get some of the good people in the media to put this out, of course, they may not be in the media very long if they tell the truth, but Sean Hannity, I was told today, had really been hitting on the fluoride issue. Was it fluoride or mercury? I'm not sure, but under any circumstances, he was hitting on one of our favorite topics. Anyway, Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, is one of the most important books we carry. We also carry his book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, the story of MSG, and, of course, of aspartame. You need to get this information to protect yourself and to protect your family. So remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. The material you want to get will be the book, The Fluoride Deception, the two 4-tape sets on fluoride. We actually have a little packet on fluoride. We'll be glad to send you that free of charge. We'll, of course, we have a DVD on fluoride, and we're going to be putting together a talk and a syllabus here in the very, very near future that'll carry many of these scientific studies we've been talking about this evening so that you can discuss this issue intelligently with your friends and with your family. And of course, it's so vitally important that people understand that there really are wicked people out there who are poisoning the American people. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand how it all fits together. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and protection. Until Monday, when we'll be back once again. Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.